Welcome back to the Purity Podcast, where we help men find hope, healing, and freedom through the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Hey, the Purity Podcast is brought to you by Castamonia, a Christ-centered 12-step recovery program helping men pursue sexual purity through honesty, brotherhood, and surrender to God. You can find us at castamonia.org. Let me ask you a question. What if God's goal for your recovery isn't just about sobriety? What if he's after something deeper? Because you can stop acting out and still be controlled by fear, pride, shame, or selfishness. Today, we're looking at Romans 12, 1 through 2, and discovering why God isn't just interested in changing your behavior. He's interested in transforming your life. Grab your cup of coffee, something to write with, your favorite note-taking device, and let's dive in. Welcome to the Purity Podcast. Well, welcome back to the Purity Podcast. I'm Chris Archinall, and today I want to talk to you about something that honestly changed the way I think about recovery, discipleship, and honestly, transformation altogether. There's something that I look back on and see in my own life before I truly entered recovery, and what I see in a lot of men who enter recovery, and that is we want relief, but not necessarily transformation. We want the panic to stop. We want the consequences to calm down. We want the marriage to stabilize. We want the compulsive behavior gone. Basically, we're saying, God, microwave my addiction. And if you've heard me teach before, you know I use the microwave analogy a lot because it describes perfectly how most of us approach recovery. We want God to take our frozen heart, toss it into to the microwave for 90 seconds, hit the popcorn button, and boom. We're fully transformed, a new disciple of Jesus Christ. But God is not building hot pockets. No, he's not building hot pockets. He's building oak trees. Grass grows fast. Oak trees grow deep. And addicts, let's be honest, we hate slow growth. We want immediate relief. God wants lasting transformation. And that kind of tension sits right in the middle of the Bible. It sits in a passage that I've read for years. And it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, before we go any further, I think it's important that we address how most Christians, including me, have read Romans 12, 1 and 2. And to be fair, I don't think we're wrong. I just think we're missing some of the point. Most people read Romans 12, 1 and 2 and conclude, change your thinking so that you can stop doing bad things and figure out God's will for your life. And that's true, but it's incomplete because most of us treat Romans 12, 1 and 2 as like this self-improvement passage. We focus on renewing the mind, behavior change, discovering God's will. What we often miss is the foundation of the entire passage, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I love that passage in the ESV. It says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that word present is such a powerful word because it's a priestly term. It's like when the priest would present a sacrifice. It was a perfect lamb. But when our perfect lamb, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, we no longer had to do those sacrifices. So now we are the presenter, we're the priest, and we're the offering. So we're taking our bodies and we're offering it to God as a living sacrifice. And he says that is a good and acceptable, and it is our spiritual worship. It's such a beautiful thing. So Paul isn't primarily teaching here a strategy for self-improvement. He's describing a life of surrender. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's surrender. It's a life of worship. In fact, I'd argue that transformation isn't even the primary goal of this passage. Surrender is. I'm going to say that again. Transformation isn't even the primary goal of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Surrender is. Transformation is what happens when a surrendered life encounters the transforming work of God. I'm going to say that again. Transformation is what happens when a surrendered life encounters the transforming work of God. Now, I want you to think about how we usually read this text. We read it in this kind of this order: renew your mind, change your behavior, discover God's will. But Paul's order is actually offer yourself, be transformed, discern God's will. That's a very different message. Most addicts, and honestly, most Christians, want transformation without surrender. We want the fruit. I hate this to say this way because it sounds, you know, so poetic, but we want the fruit without the roots. We want an outcome without making an offering. We want God to renovate our house, but we're going to keep the keys. What Paul starts with here is surrender. And why does he do that? Because whatever you offer yourself to will shape you. And that's exactly what addiction does. I offered my body to sexual addiction for years. So what do you think shaped me? If I offered my body to God, he's now the one who shapes me. So offer your bodies. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, for recovering addicts, this is massive because addiction disciples the body. You trained your body somewhere. Your nervous system learned stress equals escape. Loneliness equals fantasy. Fear equals numbing. Shame equals hiding. Your body learned these rituals. Your body learned the timing. Your body learned the patterns. Your body has learned the routes, like routes, the paths. It's like walking through a field over and over and over again until eventually there's a groove worn into the ground. At first, you choose the path. Eventually, the path chooses you. And that's addiction. And Paul says, now, offer that body somewhere else. So each time you don't do what the addiction says to do, you're offering your body as a sacrifice. Notice he doesn't say offer your intentions. He says your bodies. Offer your eyes, your habits, your phone, your sleep patterns, your sexuality, your responses, your thoughts, your routines. Because recovery becomes worship. And that is one of the biggest mindset shifts men need. Sobriety is not merely this management behavior, it's surrender. You're no longer offering yourself to lust, fantasy, pride, shame, selfishness, validation, anger, control. You're offering yourself to God, and you're offering yourself to God again and again and again. So, as you know, I'm a big fan of the Transformational Recovery Matrix. I wrote it. I love it. It's God's gift to me, so I can brag about it because I had nothing to do with it. I just got to be the scribe on something that I believe, not literally that God gave me, not like it's the Bible, but I just feel like it's something that God gave to me in such a powerful way to help me understand what transformation can look like in my life and help me identify where am I located in this matrix to help me figure out how I move from one quadrant to transformation. One of the things I've realized mentoring men is that not everybody in recovery is actually pursuing transformation. Some guys are barely awake. Some are trapped in shame. Some are performing recovery. And some are genuinely surrendering. And that's what led me to build this Transformational Recovery Matrix. Now, think about this through Romans 12 with the trivial quadrant, the lowest performing quadrant, right? The bottom left, very little attitude or awareness towards my addiction and very little, if any, action. This is the guy who says, it's not that big of a deal. He minimizes, justifies, explains away. He's still conforming to the pattern of the world while convincing himself he's fine. Paul says, do not conform, but he already has. By the way, do you know what you have to do to conform to the world? Absolutely nothing. If you do nothing, you will conform to the world. So porn will disciple you. Culture disciples you. Comfort will disciple you. That kind of guy, the guy who's stuck in the trivial quadrant, He's asleep. He doesn't even see himself as stuck. It reminds me of like driving with warning lights on my car. And so instead of paying attention to the warning lights, I just put, you know, tape over, you know, duct tape over each of those things so that I don't have to see them anymore, so I don't have to deal with it. That is trivial recovery. It's not transformed. It's just numb. So the guy in the trapped quadrant, this is a guy, he knows he's broken. He hates the cycle, but he's frozen. He's frozen by shame. He's crippled by isolation. He's convinced himself that he has no other alternative but to live the life he's trapped in. This is the guy who says, I know what I need to do, but I can't seem to do it. He's spiritually aware, but emotionally paralyzed. And a lot of addicts live here for years. I lived there. I had degrees, a master's in theology. I had knowledge. I had ministry experience. But what I was terrified of was exposure. And that's why Paul's language here matters so much. He's saying, offer yourself. You cannot heal what you continue protecting. And this is where Romans 12 becomes deeply, deeply practical. Transformation begins when a man risks being known. Now, the transactional quadrant, this is not a bad quadrant. It's just a quadrant that's not great if you stay there forever. It's sneaky. This is the guy who's doing all the right things in recovery. He's going to meetings, reading books. He has accountability. He has checklists. He has routines. But recovery, in if you're kind of stuck in this transactional quadrant, your recovery has kind of become a performance. Maybe you're treating God like a vending machine. If I stay sober, you bless me. Look, that is not intimacy. That is not transformation. That is a negotiation. And honestly, churches accidentally produce this all the time. Men become behavior managers instead of transformed children of God, sons of God. They know how to monitor activity, but do you know how to abide in him? This is why Paul says, be transformed. He doesn't say, manage your image better. And this is where I'll geek out a little bit here. The Greek word there represents metamorphosis. I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek word. This is like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Natural level change. But here's what's fascinating about that phrase, be transformed. Be transformed is passive, meaning you do not ultimately transform yourself. It doesn't say transform yourself. It says to be transformed. It's actually an imperative, passive word phrase there, meaning it's a command, but passive. So Paul is saying, transformation is something God does in you as you surrender yourself to him. So it's not passive like laziness. It's passive like dependence. So a branch cannot produce grapes through effort. It produces fruit through connection. And that's what John 15 talks about. And honestly, I think this is why some men burn out in recovery. You're rowing against the tide. You're rowing instead of abiding. You're white knuckling instead of surrendering yourself to him. Maybe you're performing instead of connecting. And so where we want to be is this transformational quadrant. This is where awareness and action meet surrender. It's not perfection. It's surrender. This is the man who says, I'm not who I used to be, but I'm not done growing. He's honest. He's connected, teachable, dependent. He's no longer merely trying not to act out. He's pursuing intimacy with God. That's a huge difference. Sobriety asks, how do I stop sinning? Transformation asks, how do I become whole? And this is where Romans 12 shifts from this external behavior to an internal renewal. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Addicts don't just have behavior problems. We have interpretation problems. We learn to interpret pain incorrectly. So loneliness became a fantasy. Fear became control. Stress became escape. Shame became hiding. So renewing the mind means learning to reinterpret reality through truth instead of impulse. It's not, I need relief. It's, I'm dysregulated. It's not, I deserve this. It's, I'm looking for comfort apart from God. It's not, I need porn. It's, I need connection, honesty, rest, or grief. That's transformation. And not only is that transformation, that is offering your body as a living sacrifice. Every time you want relief, if you pause and say, I don't need relief, I'm just dysregulated, or I deserve this, and stop and say, no, I'm just looking for comfort apart from God. When you say that, you're actually presenting your body as a living sacrifice in that moment, because you're sacrificing something that you want for what you know is right. So one of the biggest lies in recovery is, if I'm struggling, I'm failing. No, sometimes struggling means roots are growing deeper. Remember, grass grows fast, oak trees grow slow. And addicts want grass growth spiritually, right? We want quick, visible, instant. But God grows people underground first. And this is what's so hard. So we need these roots, like I said earlier, we need these roots before we can produce fruit. And that's why recovery often feels so frustrating. Because while you're focused on behavior, God is actually rebuilding identity. You're asking, how fast can I stop sinning? God is asking, how deep can your roots go? And deep roots take surrender, repetition, honesty, community, grieving, confession, dependence, failure, and it means getting back up again. And transformation is not linear. It's more like a spiral staircase, right? You revisit old struggles at times, but hopefully from a higher place each time, because you've taken steps up each time. And that's what growth is. And finally, God, in Paul talks about testing and approving. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And Paul's talking about this discernment here. Your desires begin changing. You start tasting the difference between intensity and intimacy. You see the difference between performing and just being present, or hiding and honesty. You see the difference between lust and love, or control and surrender. And your nervous system slowly learns peace. Your soul begins preferring connection over escape. So again, by the mercies of God, again, I love this part. I didn't even talk about this earlier, but by the mercies of God, it's because God loves us. He's not trying to be a dominating God here. He's appealing to us because God loves us. So because God loves us, because he's merciful, he wants, Paul is saying, present your body as a living sacrifice. That is a holy and acceptable thing to God. And that is a spiritual act of worship. And then don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So then it's by the testing that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that testing is not a pop quiz. It's not anything other than how a silversmith would check to see if the silver is pure. So he's looking to see change in that silver. And that's what happens when we start to see transformation take place. It's not perfect. We're just reorienting ourselves. So this isn't about just finding God's will. Now, here's another place I think sometimes we miss Paul's point. When most Christians hear, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, we immediately think, well, that means who should I marry? Should I change jobs? Should I move? What decisions should I make? And again, those questions matter, but I don't think that's Paul's primary concern here. Paul's concern isn't merely, can you discover God's will? His concern is, have you become the kind of person who desires God's will? That's different, because recovery teaches us something important. A man can know what is right and still not want it. A man can know what is healthy and still choose what is destructive. A man can know the truth and still run from it. The issue isn't always information. Actually, it's more about formation. And that's what Paul is after here. The phrase test and approve It isn't merely about guidance. It's about discernment. It's about becoming the kind of person who increasingly recognizes and values and desires what is good. A guy early in recovery often asks, "How close can I get to temptation without falling?" A transformed man asks, "Why would I want to go there?" His desires have changed. His taste has changed. His discernment has changed. That's why Romans 12 isn't ultimately about figuring out God's will. It's about becoming the kind of person who recognizes God's will because God has transformed him from the inside out. So today, I want to connect Romans 12 with that transformational recovery matrix because I think Paul is describing something far deeper than behavior modification. He's describing a slow reshaping of the human soul. Now, if you've read my book, you know I talk about something called the boomerang principle. This is something I've seen guys have to learn the hard way. Now, transformation is ongoing. I've learned this the hard way in other areas of my life, not from a sobriety perspective, but just from character defects, because years into sobriety, God will still expose these character defects, pride and anger and control, perfectionism, selfishness. These are things my friends deal with, not me. Just kidding. All these can have turned into trivial boomerangs for me at times because I've just assumed at times, well, this is just who I am, so I'm just going to have to live with it and manage it and monitor it. I don't view it as a way to present my body as a living sacrifice. And this is what I'm slowly learning. This is what I've been learning over the last couple of months that's so powerful to me. Because the enemy, think about these trivial boomerangs, things that you think are small until they come flying back around and hit you in the head. It may not be traveling as fast, but it's still going to hit you in the head. Because like the enemy doesn't always want, he doesn't want to destroy men through this spectacular failure all the time. Sometimes it's this slow drift from God, away from what you know is right. It's a neglected heart, a tolerated attitude, a justified resentment. And the little compromises become cracks in the foundation. And this is why transformation requires constant surrender. Not obsession, just awareness. Not shame, honesty. David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Man, I could get into a whole nother podcast on that because the Hebrew word here means, when he says search me, it means dig deep. It means investigate thoroughly. It means excavate. It means expose what's buried. It's telling God, search me, dig into me, find if there's anything in me that is not of you. And that can be a terrifying prayer, but it's also a really transformational prayer. So maybe the simplest way to say Romans 12, 1 and 2 is this: whatever you repeatedly offer yourself to will shape you. Lust shapes, shame shapes, pride shapes, fear, performance, they shape. But surrender shapes too. And Paul says, offer yourself to God, not once, daily, because transformation is not an event. It's a relationship. It's not behavior management. It's a heart renovation. And over time, through surrender, through community, through confession, and the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, God begins to reshape you from the inside out. Now, not into a man who merely avoids porn, but into a man who knows how to live free. I'm going to read this passage one more time because it's such a powerful passage, and I hope that you'll take some time this week to just dig into this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Purity Podcast. Super glad that you're here. If you like this, please press like. I think you can do that anonymously so that you're not outed for listening to a sexual purity podcast, but please like it. Tell your friends in recovery about it. And I hope this week that you'll go out and really dig into Romans 12, 1 and 2 to really learn what transformation looks like. Guys, thanks for being a part of this. Email us, reach out to us at puritypodcast@castamonia.org. And remember, as you go along this journey of recovery, you are not walking alone. And every breath I breathe.